Aprendan inglés mientras se divierten. La magia de Disney con la calidad de Vaughan. Entra en grupobaughan.com e infórmate. Si tienes alguna duda o necesitas información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833. Repito, 91-133-5833.
Esta es La Hora Extra, con Richard Vaughan.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to Friday's edition of The Extra Hour, Friday night. It's Friday night. It's a good night to go out. You should forget about this English class. Just don't pay any attention to me. Just turn off the radio and go out and have dinner, go out to the movies, go out and go dancing, do something. It's a Friday night. It's not the best time of the week to learn English, but if you're here, if we're together, well, let's make the most of the time we have. Aprovechemos al máximo el tiempo que tenemos juntos. Let's make the most of the time we have. We have an hour. Well, really, we have 52 minutes, but I've already consumed one, so we only have 51 minutes left. But that's enough time to benefit, don't you think? It's enough time to extract certain benefits. All right, paragraph 91. Let's review it a little bit. We heard it last night. Let's hear it again. He wants to know what the weather's like, what the people are like, and what the countryside is like. Look, would you mind writing him? I've really got a lot of things to do. And besides, he considers you one of his best friends. Yeah. He wants to know what the weather's like, what the people are like, and what the countryside is like. Look, would you mind writing him? I've really got a lot of things to do. And besides, he considers you one of his best friends. So there are three people involved in this little conversation, although only one person is speaking. Now, there's the third person who is not involved directly in this conversation, who's neither speaking nor listening, a third party, no es una tercera fiesta ni un tercer partido político, a third party means como daños a terceros, hay un tercero aquí, who's not involved, but we're referring to him. He wants to know, and this person is curious. I get the impression that this third person is planning to move to another territory, another country, another region, and that this third person is curious about what it's like to live there, what's the weather like, what are the people like, what is the countryside like. Tú no formas inglés que los hispanohablantes nunca consigues aprender o asimilar. ¿Cómo es el tiempo? ¿Cómo son la gente? ¿Cómo es la gente? In English, people is plural always. ¿Y cómo es el paisaje? O sea, la tierra. Yes, what's the countryside like? He wants to know, ¿cómo eres tú? What are you like? ¿Cómo soy yo? What am I like? Do you want to know what I'm like? If you want to know what I'm like, then ask me what I'm like. Okay, well, Richard, what are you like? I'm like everybody else. A human being with aspirations and things I enjoy, things I don't. Yes, things I would love to accomplish. And other things that I don't really care about. Yes, that's what I'm like. I'm like anybody else. I'm like everyone else. I'm not different. Yes, that's what I'm like. What's Spain like? Well, Spain is a European country with a bit of influence from the Arabic world because of 700 years. A bit of influence from Jewish. There's Jewish blood in the people. Jewish, and there are other things, and Spain never was really a medieval country, medieval, in the sense of the rest of Europe. The feudalism didn't take hold in Spain. Feudalism didn't take hold in Spain. Yes, to take hold means no hecho raíces, no se consolidó. El feudalismo, el señor y sus siervos, you didn't have that in Spain. Because of the reconquest, yes, because as soon as the Visigoths, Visigodos, as soon as the Visigoths were maybe starting to establish a feudal system similar to France and maybe Italy, I don't know, Germany, England. They were conquered by the Moors, los Moros. And then the reconquest almost immediately started with Don Pelayo in Asturias, and then Galicia, and then they took León in that area. Bembibre de El Bierzo in that area. They started to come back. And it was a different approach. It wasn't a feudal. You didn't have lords and with their territories. Los lores, un lord, un señor y sus siervos, who provided food and things, and the lord of the territory provided protection. And so you want to know what Spain is like. Well, Spain is a bit different from the rest of Europe for interesting reasons. First of all, Spain, or the Iberian Peninsula, is disconnected geographically from Europe because it's a peninsula at the very tip of the Eurasian landmass. And it's separated from France and the rest of Europe by relatively high mountains called the Pyrenees mountain range. And so and also it was the Land's End. Movements of people, migratory movements, could not continue after the Iberian Peninsula because it was the Atlantic Ocean or the Mediterranean Sea. And so that was the end. I mean, any type of migratory movement, by the time it reached the Iberian Peninsula, it was reaching the end of the road. But Spain was very, very strongly influenced by the Roman culture and Roman occupation. The Romans started to occupy the Iberian Peninsula in around 210 or 220 BC. And by the year zero, the Iberian Peninsula was completely controlled by Rome. And this was the case up until about 475, until the fall of Rome. So for 450 years, or for 500 years really, the Iberian Peninsula was under Roman law, Roman influence, Roman culture, Roman Latin language was starting to penetrate. But then the Roman Empire fell, and the And the visit vandals, those vandalos, came through, but they continued into Morocco and North Africa. And the Visigoths finally ended up in the area of what is Catalonia, and then they spread into the rest of Spain. The Visigoths, strange group of Germanic, a strange Germanic tribe, from what is today probably southern Poland, western Ukraine, or Slovakia, and maybe parts of Hungary. And from there they moved down. They migrated down to what is today Greece, including the Peloponnese Peninsula. Then they turned around and went back up along the Adriatic coast of what is today Albania, Kosovo, Montenegro, and Bosnia. Well, Bosnia very little. Croatia, and up to Slovenia, and then Italy. And they went into Italy and went down and they sacked Rome. The Visigoths saccheron. They sacked Rome. And then they turned around and went back up the, in this case, the Italian peninsula, and into what is today France, southern France. And they moved all the way across the south of France until they reached the Bordeaux area, la zona de Burdeos, which is very close to the Atlantic. But for some reason, I don't remember why, they turned around and went down to what is today Barcelona in that area. Barcino or Barcino, Barfino. All right. I don't know why. Or maybe it was a separate group of the Visigoths. And from there, they began to establish a culture. And then finally they penetrated through the entire Iberian Peninsula. Except perhaps the north of Portugal and Galicia, which was Los Suevos, the Suevans. But the Suevos, the Suebs, finally, I think, about 100 years later, were taken over or influenced by the Visigoths. And then, that was a period of time in the 5th century? Hold on. In the 600s and the 700s. The 500s and the 600s. So the 6th century and the 7th century. All right. A.D. And the... in which feudalism, the very rudimentary moments of feudalism were beginning to take shape north of the Pyrenees, but they didn't in the south yet. And then the Moors came in the year 711, in the early 8th century, and everything changed because Islamic, the Muslims, occupied all of Spain except for an area of what is today Asturias and western Cantabria. And then, of course, the reconquest started, but it was a very slow-moving reconquest, but it was continuous, usually, to such an extent that there was a warrior class, una clase guerrera, and resettling class. So the warrior class conquered areas, and then they resettled, recolonizar these areas. It's quite interesting, and so feudalism didn't really take hold. So, you want to know what the weather's like. Yes, I don't. My friend does. He wants to know what the weather's like in Spain. Yes. Okay, well, the weather in Spain is relatively dry, extreme. Well, the center of Spain, most of Spain, to tell you the truth, most of Spain are high plains, llanuras altas, which they call in Spanish mesetas. They have there's a mountain range. It passes through the center of Spain. It's called the Guadarrama and the Gredos Range, the mountain range. North of that range, all the way up to the Cantabrian Mountains in the very north, you have a high plain called, today it's called Castilla León, although it includes La Rioja and the southern part of Navarre, from Olite to the south. And And so that's the old concept of Old Castile. And that's a high plain. And then on the south side of the Guadarrama and the Gredos mountain range, you have what we call today Castilla-La Mancha and Extremadura. And these are high plains as well. Now, the climate in these two areas constitute maybe 60% of the landmass of what is Spain. And we should include what the kingdom, Aragon, which is three provinces of Huesca, Zaragoza, and Teruel, the current Aragon, not the kingdom of Aragon 500 years ago, which included Catalonia. And so that's very similar. It's a high plain. High plain, llanura alta, plain. It's going to plain. And on these high plains, it's a typical type of climate, which it's very hot in the summer and dry, very cold in the winter, also dry. And there is rain, but the rainfall is relatively scarce, which means it's a relatively dry area in which basically the only resource you have is for dry land farming, what we call agricultura de secano, dry land farming. Although you can find certain isolated areas where you might be able to, you have enough water for irrigation. In Extremadura, for example, in the area of the Guadiana, the area of Almendralejo, Don Benito, Villanueva Serena, and certain other areas. In the province of Badajoz, you have irrigated farming and not dry land farming. And, of course, you have in Castilla-La Mancha, you have the Tablas de Daimiel. You have some relatively wet areas, but in general, that area is, the climate is dry. That's what the weather's like. And it's relatively dry and prone to droughts, propenso a las sequías, prone to droughts. And then the weather in the very north, in the Cantabrian mountain range, which goes from the Basque country all the way to Galicia, that area is relatively wet, quite wet. It's a humid area, mountainous and coastal, but the weather is... the climate is humid and rainy. And then in the south, you have Andalusia, just south of the Sierra Morena mountain range. We have a lot of mountainous areas, and you have certain... It's also relatively dry, although there are certain isolated areas that are very, very wet, like the Grazalema area in the province of Cadiz, in which it's the rainiest spot, the rainiest place in the entire Iberian Peninsula. And then, of course, along the coast, you have the coastal areas of in Catalonia, the Valencia, Castellón, and all of these areas. And then you have a desert in the southeast, Almeria, and parts of Murcia. It's an interesting climate. It's an interesting climate. So that's what the weather's like. What are the people like? ¿Cómo es la gente? What are the people like? What are the people like? Well, the people are, as I said earlier, the blood mixture. It's a blood mixture of European, Christian, Moorish or Muslim blood and Jewish blood. There was a very big Jewish population, a Sephardic Jew population in Spain up until 1492. They were expelled from Spain by the Catholic monarchs. But many of them they were expelled. They were given the choice of leaving Spain or converting to Christianity. And a very important percentage of the Jews converted. Whether they converted in heart is another question. But they converted officially to Christianity because they were leading quite good lives here in Spain. And so maybe 20% of the population or 30% of the Spanish population has Jewish blood, some Jewish blood, probably. Because I know from a fact, because my best friends when I was a little boy were Jewish. And then later at the university, my best friend was Jewish. And I've spent a lot of time with Jewish people. And I see that many people in Spain have a very similar physiognomy. And they look very, very similar. So I think there's quite a bit of Jewish blood still circulating in the veins of Spanish people in certain areas of the country. You go to Toledo, you go to Segovia, the area of Sepulveda in that area. The people remind me of that area, of the Jewish people, my Jewish friends and their parents. But nevertheless, here in this paragraph, what we're looking at is the word like. ¿Cómo es? ¿Cómo es Madrid? What is Madrid like? ¿Cómo es Barcelona? What is Barcelona like? ¿Cómo es tu amigo? What is your friend like? ¿Cómo es vivir en España? What is it like living in Spain? ¿Cómo es vivir en Texas? What is it like to live in Texas or living? What's it like? What's it like? What is it like means ¿cómo es? So, ¿cómo estás? Is how are you. ¿Cómo eres? Is what are you like. ¿Con what? No, con how. All right, so finally, let's look at this paragraph in its entirety. He wants to know what the weather is like, what the people are like, and what the countryside is like. Countryside is paisaje en general. Look, would you mind writing him? ¿Te importaría escribirle tú? Would you mind writing to him? Writing him or writing to him? I've really got a lot of things to do. La verdad es que tengo muchas cosas yo que hacer. Y además, él te considera uno de sus mejores amigos. I've really got a lot of things to do. I've really got a lot of things to do. And besides, he considers you one of his best friends. One of his best friends. Yeah. I've really got a lot of things to do, man. I've got a lot of stuff to do. I have a lot of stuff to do. I really have a lot of things to do. Or I really have a lot of stuff to do. Or I've really got. I really have. I recommend I really have for you. But probably 50% of the time you're going to hear, I really got a lot of things to do, eh? And besides, he considers you one of his best friends. Would you mind writing to him? Would you mind sending him an email? He wants to know what the weather's like. He wants to know what the people are like. And he wants to know what the countryside is like. Spain, the countryside in Spain. Spain is the second highest country in Europe in elevation after Switzerland. There are mountains everywhere. If you go to the Strait of Gibraltar, if you cross from the Strait of Gibraltar to Spain, immediately you are immersed in the Serranía de Ronda. All right. And then, depending on if you go straight north, you'll reach the Sierra Morena. But if you go straight east, you will run into the Sierra Nevada around Granada. And then from the Sierra Nevada, you move southeast, you'll encounter the Las Alpujarras. So there are a lot of mountains. But if you go north to Sierra Morena, and then if you cross the Sierra Morena, then you will come to a high plain, una meseta sur, the southern high plain, which we call today Castilla-La Mancha. And you continue north and you will encounter some mountains in the middle called los Montes de Toledo, the Toledo Mountains. They're not that high, but you have to cross over a small group of mountains. And then you reach the Tagus River Valley in Valle del Tajo. Yes, the Tagus River Valley. But you've already crossed the Guadiana. But the Guadiana appears and disappears, so you never know. And then you reach what is today Madrid, but you continue north and then you come to the Guadarrama or Gredos mountain range, depending on what part of the Iberian Peninsula you're moving up. And once you get over that mountain range, you have the northern high plain, which we call Castilleón today, and you continue north until you reach the Cantabrian range in what is today Cantabria and Asturias, and to a certain extent the Basque Country in Galicia on the opposite ends. And then you come to the Bay of Biscay, which in Spanish you call El Mar Cantábrico, which is part of the Atlantic Ocean. We say La Bahía de Vizcaya, the Bay of Biscay. I'll be back in 4 minutes, so sit tight.
Tengo 23 años y acabo de terminar la carrera de Administración y Dirección de Empresas. Decidí hacer este máster antes de acabar la carrera porque mi nivel de inglés era realmente bajo. Veía que tenía que buscar un trabajo y que necesitaba un buen nivel de inglés. Y creí que esta era la mejor forma y una alternativa a irte fuera. Así que decidí compaginar un poco los estudios con el inglés. Y ahora que he terminado, hace una semana que he terminado los estudios, si tengo que buscar trabajo, me siento un poco más preparada. Lo mejor es el equipo de profesores que tienen. Hacen las clases muy amenas y aprovechamos el tiempo al máximo.
No importa lo que hayas estudiado, no importa a qué te quieras dedicar. Hagas lo que hagas, vas a necesitar el inglés. Haz un máster que realmente merezca la pena. Haz el máster en inglés profesional de Vaughan. Más información en el 91-133-5833 o en grupovaughan.com. Máster en inglés profesional.
Además, ahora financiate hasta el 100% del coste y págalo cómodamente hasta en 24 meses. Puedes ver las condiciones de financiación en el apartado de máster en grupovaughan.com.
Alicante, Barcelona, Bilbao, Valladolid, Valencia, Vigo, Santander, Zaragoza y Madrid. Ven a vernos a cualquiera de nuestras academias de inglés Vaughan. Ven a vernos sin ningún compromiso. Queremos conocerte. Infórmate en grupovaughan.com.
Hello there, this is Fitz. I want to talk to you about the Curso de Inglés Online de Vaughan. €99 for 1 year of classes. You can spread the €99 over 3 months. It's 30 cents per day. All the Vaughan favorites are in there. Richard Vaughan, Richard Brown, Jimena Holiday, Kyle Miller, Alberto Alonso. Curso de Inglés Online, Vaughan.com.
Dispara tu carrera profesional con un máster Vaughan. Dominarás el inglés oral en situaciones cotidianas y profesionales. Aprenderás a escribir correctamente textos y cartas de negocios en perfecto inglés y transmitirás una imagen de profesionalidad. El máster incluye una o dos inmersiones lingüísticas en Vaughan Town, donde practicarás lo aprendido en el máster con angloparlantes nativos de todas partes del mundo. Puedes hacerlo a tiempo completo o a tiempo parcial. Tú eliges la que más te convenga. La versión completa se realiza por videoconferencia e incluye más de 900 horas de inglés y dos inmersiones en Vaughan Town. La versión parcial se realiza también por videoconferencia o, si lo prefieres, de manera presencial en nuestros centros de Madrid, Barcelona, Valencia y Zaragoza, e incluye más de 500 horas de inglés y una inmersión en Vaughan Town. Todo, por supuesto, en un entorno seguro, cumpliendo todas las medidas de higiene y distanciamiento social. Te estamos ofreciendo el mejor programa de inglés del mercado. Tú decides. Máster en inglés profesional. Para más información, grupovaughan.com.
Lo que más miedo da al profesional español es hablar por teléfono en inglés. Por eso Vaughan ha desarrollado las clases telefónicas, en las que trabajarás tanto tu comprensión auditiva como tu fluidez oral con un auténtico crack de la enseñanza. Tú eliges la hora y la temática de cada clase. Flexibilidad absoluta. Calidad Vaughan 100%. Contrata las clases telefónicas de inglés de Vaughan para tu empresa. Llama al 911-335-831 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
Prueba el método Vaughan con nuestro curso trimestral. Elige entre nuestra modalidad presencial o por videoconferencia. Y el resto, déjanoslo a nosotros. 3 meses de listening y speaking con los mejores profesores del mercado. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Curso trimestral de Vaughan. Ven a vernos a nuestra tienda física en Madrid, en la calle Orense 75. Y si no te viene bien, ya sabes, baugantienda.com.
Sí, dígame.
Ahora tu profesor Vaughan, desde tu casa, la oficina. Tu profesor Vaughan en clases telefónicas. Ahora más fácil y cómodo. Consigue uno de los tres planes de formación en grupovaughan.com/clases telefónicas.
Con Richard Vaughan.
Hello and welcome back. All right, we're back for our second half hour of today's Friday edition, 10:30 at night on a Friday. So, what shall we do in this last half hour of the week? For me, it's not the last half hour of the week for you, because the English learning process, the English mastery process, requires full-time dedication 7 days a week, 24/7, 24/7. Slash is la barra that you use in mathematics. Slash. But slash is also what you do with a machete. Slash. A slasher. But nevertheless, 24/7. 24/7 means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 7 days a week. So, we still have half an hour, so let's get going. Let's get going. Paragraph number 92. Are you ready? Are you ready? Yes, I'm ready. Whoever caused this accident should be put behind bars. It's one of the worst I've ever seen. It seems strange to me how it could have happened. This is one of the safest intersections in town, and it seems that an accident of this type could easily have been avoided. Me too. I agree with that. I think it's a policeman who's talking about this. And I totally agree. I completely agree with the policeman on this one. But excuse me, Richard, what did the policeman say? Whoever caused this accident should be put behind bars. It was one of the worst. It's one of the worst I've ever seen. What seems strange to me is how it could have happened. This is one of the safest intersections in town. And it seems that an accident of this type could easily have been avoided. Could easily have been avoided. Yeah. That's what I think. Yeah, whoever caused this accident, you know, I don't know how to translate that. Now, who caused this accident? Is quien causó este accidente? Now, whoever caused it, ¿quién haya sido el que ha causado? Okay, quien habrá sido quien haya causado? I don't know how to say it in Spanish. I don't know whether to use a subjunctive or not. Quien causara este accidente? You tell me. Because we don't know. The policeman is not clear on who caused the accident. So he says, sea haya sido quien haya sido. Un poco así. Whoever caused. You know, there's certain elements of the Spanish subjunctive that I still don't know well. After 47 years with the language. Whoever caused this accident, because I don't feel the language. You know, if you my connection with the Spanish language is entirely cerebral and intellectual. It's not emotional. All right. And so you say, no suena. Así no. This expression, oye, está bien. No lo sé, pero no suena. Suena mejor a decirlo así. That's a feeling when you say that. You know? If, you know, for in English, for example, to say, I have to go or I gotta go. I've gotta go. You know, a person can give an opinion. I have to go. I've gotta go. And I have to go. I've gotta go. I've got to go means you're in a hurry. I have to go means you're maybe that you have a feeling that the forces are against you and you have no choice. I have to go sounds more emphatic of obligation. that you can, unavoidable obligation. I've got to go means me toca. Gotta go. I gotta go. I have to go. I'm sorry, but I have to go. I'm sorry, but I gotta go. You know, these are feelings. I can feel it. You know, if I'm in a group of people and everybody's having fun and I'm the center of the fun, I'm making people laugh and everybody's having a good time, but it's time for me to go. And I don't want to go. But it's absolutely unavoidable. I must leave. And so I will stand up and say, I'm sorry, but I have to go. I have to go. No, I probably wouldn't say, I got to go. Sorry, I got to go. I got to go is more of it's, you know. In this case, I got to go. I would not be the center of attention. And I just simply have to go. You see, these are feeling, what I call feeling the language, trying to figure out in what cases you would use one and in what cases the other. For example, when I ask Spanish people, con relación a Churchill, you would say, ¿fue un gran hombre o era un gran hombre? Which? And you know, they say, well, I don't know, let's see. Churchill era un gran hombre, fue un gran hombre. And they will give an opinion, but the opinion on how they feel, the feeling, you see. Whereas for a person who is approaching the Spanish language intellectually to learn it, you just simply have to listen to 1,000 opinions about it and then decide to use it. You never develop a feeling for a language if you don't grow up with it. You don't. Now, I have a certain feeling for Spanish. If somebody starts using swear words or dirty language, of course, it makes an impact. So I do have a certain emotional connection. But on grammar, no. On grammar, no. Grammar's learned. The grammar I use when I speak Spanish is entirely learned and applied to the correct situation. It doesn't come naturally. It's a machine. I'm a grammar, Spanish grammar machine, speaking grammar. Ayer fui, mañana iré, últimamente he ido. Y todos los días voy. Okay. So I can use, of course, the verb to go correctly. Because I have learned it and said it 1,000 times or 5,000 times. So that's why I have a command of Spanish. It's a mechanical command. It's not an emotional command. All right. But so in this case of whoever caused this accident should be put behind bars. Yeah. El que haya causado. Probably I would translate it like that, but I'm not sure. Quien causase. Quien causó. No, I don't know. Let me know which is correct. Whoever caused this accident, sea quien haya sido. whoever caused this accident should be put behind bars. You know, it's interesting in Spanish, metido entre barrotes. I think we say entre barrotes. We say behind, detrás de los barrotes, which makes more sense. And if they're going to put you in jail or in prison, they're not going to put you between bars. They're going to put you behind the bars, right? If you're between the bars, you can probably escape. Crazy languages. Whoever caused this accident should be put behind bars. Bars, aquí no son barras ni bares. Son barrotes. Should be put behind bars. It's one of the worst I've ever seen. It's one of the worst I've... It's one Botswana. There's a country in Africa called Botswana. That's where the ex-king hunted elephants and had an accident. In Botswana. Y para decir, esto es uno de los... This is Botswana. It's very, very similar. Phonetics are identical. This is one of the safest intersections in town. You know, the word intersection, you don't say usually intersección. You say un cruce de calles, un cruce. But if it's a crossing, the word crossing, carrefour, the crossing is, at least in American English, is a rural crossing, a rural intersection out in the middle of the country. The crossing. Now, in Great Britain, I'm not sure. If they say a crossing in London proper or in the middle of Manchester, I really don't know. But in the United States, an urban crossing is called an intersection. Always the intersection. So, for example, here we have, well, the problem is in Madrid, usually it's a traffic circle or a type of roundabout. For example, Cibeles. It's not a roundabout. It's a traffic circle. Although maybe the British would say it's a square, Cibeles Square. We would say it's a Cibeles traffic circle. At least in my generation. Now I have no idea. I'm getting old and losing, you know, the English I use maybe is not the English people use. Which is not true, because when I watch current TV series from the United States, it's exactly the same. Maybe there are a few slang terms that they use now that I don't use or I have never used. But nevertheless, the basic language is exactly the same now as 50 years ago. Whoever caused, let's work a little bit on phonetics. Whoever caused this accident should be put. Whoever caused this accident should be put behind bars. Behind bars. Las dos veces muy duras. Como, en vez de decir cubano, soy cubano. Bars should be put behind bars. It's one of the worst I've ever seen. It's one of the worst dive. Stay es un orzuelo de ojo. Stay. S-T-Y. It's como el verbo to stay, quitándola. Stay. I have a stay in my eye. Tengo un orzuelo en el ojo. Stay. Stay. Now, stive. It's one of the worst I've ever seen. Uno de los peores que he visto jamás. Accidentes. It's one of the worst I've ever seen. It's one of the worst I've ever, Conuve, Valencia, Valladolid, Vigo, Vivaz, Vivacidad, Voraz, Vavavavi, Vivivivi, Efe Vibrada, Fofo, Fofito, Gabi Miliki, Fofo, Vovo, Vovo y Vovito. Vovo y vovito. Simplemente tienes que vibrar la F con las cuerdas vocales en acción. Fofo y fofito. Those were two of them. Well, you had Fofo and Miliki. Those were the two brothers. Well, there were three brothers. And Gabi, of course. Most of the newer generation don't remember these clowns. ¿Cómo están ustedes? The reason they, ¿cómo están ustedes? They always started with that instead of ¿cómo estáis? Because they spent probably 70 or 80% of their time touring Latin America. And in Latin America, it's very strange to hear ¿cómo estáis? ¿Cómo están ustedes? All right, so, but in any case, Fofo y Fofito. Now, Fofo was the father and Fofito was the son. Fofo's son was Fofito. Now, if you can say those, Fofo y Fofito, but say it vibrating the F, Vovi and Vovito, and that's the first step to mastering the English V. Vovo y Vovito, vive, viven, Vovo y Voviten, oh, no me sale. For example, Fofo y Fofito son finlandeses. No, I'll need to think about that. Fofo y Fofito viven en Vigo. All right. You can practice it that way. Whoever caused this accident should be put behind bars. It's one of the worst I've ever... It's one of the worst I've ever seen. It's one of the worst I've ever... Va. Vivian. Vivir. Vivencia. Vivificación. I've ever. It's one of the worst I've ever seen. You know, you take this sentence, isolate it, write it down, listen to me or to any native person, and emulate it. Try to get as close as possible. It's one of the worst I have ever seen. It's one of the worst I've ever seen. Now, let's unify this sentence phonetically. It's one of the worst I've ever seen. Worst I've ever, worst I've ever. It's right there. It's one of the, lo de Botswana, it's one of the worst I've ever seen. It's one. What seems strange to me is how it could have happened. What seems strange to me is how it could have happened. This is one of the safest intersections in town. And it seems that an accident of this type could easily have been avoided. Yeah, me too, I agree. It could easily have been avoided. Excuse me, Richard, what intersection are you referring to? I'm referring to the intersection of Sheridan and 61st Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma. To have a car accident there means people are not paying attention. Huh? And especially a terrible accident. So the policeman arrives on the scene. The policeman arrives on the scene. The scene. And says, wow, this is a terrible accident. My God. I wonder, whoever caused this accident should be put behind bars. I mean, come on. It's one of the worst I've ever seen. Lo que me extraña, lo que me parece extraño, es cómo podría haber ocurrido. What seems strange. Mucha esa aquí, I can see. What seems strange. That's a phonetic challenge for you to practice. Lo que parece extraño. Lo que me parece extraño. What seems strange to me. What seems strange to me. What seems strange to me is how it could have happened. Could have. Could have. What seems strange to me is how it could have happened. This is one of the safest intersections in town. In town means in the city. Es una expresión. In town can refer to the biggest city in the world. You know, Tokyo or Shanghai or Cairo or Buenos Aires or Mexico City. This is one of the safest intersections in town. Safest intersections. La T de safest. El más seguro o la más segura. Intersección. Safest enter. Otra vez la T manda fonéticamente. Como worst I've ever had, or I've ever seen, the worst I've ever seen. This is one of the safest intersections. You know, if you buy this book and listen to the readings, because it's each paragraph is read three times, two different American voices and one British voice. And you can listen to the phonetics if you have a good ear. You'll hear safest intersections in town. All right, this is one of the safest intersections in town. And it seems, that an accident of this type Diesel is a diesel, but estos easily, could easily have been avoided. Con V, avoided, evitado. Podría haberse evitado con fácilmente. It could have easily, an accident of this kind, or an accident of this type, could have easily been avoided. Could have easily been avoided. Yes. It's in this paragraph. My God, I've spent 18 minutes expanding on this silly paragraph. Whoever caused this accident should be put behind bars. It's one of the worst I've ever seen. It seems strange to me how it could have happened. This is one of the safest intersections in town. And it seems that an accident of this type could easily have been avoided. Yeah, do you think so? Do you really think this accident could have been avoided? Somebody wasn't paying attention. Well, how many cars were involved in the accident? Four. Were there any deaths? Two deaths. How many? Any injuries? 2 deaths and 4 injuries. Oh, my God, how many people were in the cars? Well, there was one driver. Let's see, the car that I think, I have a feeling that the blue car caused the accident. Which car is the blue car? The one over there. I mean, it's hard to tell. It's destroyed so much, but you can tell it's a blue car. Se ve, you can tell. Puedes decir. Ese puedes decir, you can tell, means se nota o lo puedes ver que es de color azul o era de color azul. That car. Now, that car was driven, I believe, by a single driver. A man. And he was coming from the north on this intersection. Slightly downhill. He kind of meant to cuesta abajo from there. I have a feeling he didn't notice the light had changed. I have a feeling he didn't notice that the traffic light, the red light. I think he ran a red light. And there were 2 cars crossing in an easterly direction. And 1 car was crossing in a westerly direction. Now, I think we need to study the tread marks and everything. The tread marks. But it's interesting, there aren't any tread marks. Tread is la huella en los neumáticos. Escrito tread. Como treadmill. Una cinta en los gimnasios para caminar o correr. That's a cinta. We say tread. Tread is transitar. Tread is an interesting verb, tread. Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. Tread is transitar o andar. Tread. Aquí dice pisar, aplastar, que va. Bueno, no. Dice pisotear. That's not true. Caminar, andar, eso sí, to tread. I mean, you could, forcing it, say, aplastar y to tread. No, to tread. Tread is simply to walk. Yes, a tread. La banda de rodadura de un neumático. Es el dibujo. The tread. And treadmill, I repeat, for the gyms. In fitness centers and gyms. Tread. Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. I've mentioned this several times in the past. Los tontos entran en tropel donde los ángeles ni temen pisar. Oh, caminar. Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. Interesting. And then, what's his name? Elvis Presley had the song, Wise Men Say, Only Fools Rush In, But I Can't Help Falling In Love With You. So it's taken, the song is taken from that saying, Fools Rush In, Where Angels Fear To Tread. Fools Rush In. Where angels fear to tread. Tread. Foolish people are often reckless, attempting feats that are wise to avoid, or that the wise avoid. All right, this saying is from an essay on criticism by Alexander Pope. I didn't know that. Alexander Pope was an English poet in the 18th century. But I didn't know he coined this phrase. It's a very good phrase, by the way. Alexander Pope. Alexander Pope. I think it was the 18th century or late 17th century. He was born in 1688. And he died in 1744. So yes, his productive period was the early to mid 18th century, Alexander Pope. I've read some of his poetry, but I don't. I'm not a big fan of poetry. I've written poetry a lot, but I'm not a big fan of poetry. I don't have the patience. To read poetry, it's and to appreciate it, is often a no, is an acquired skill. You need to read a lot of poetry to begin to hook yourself into it, to inject yourself into it. Although there's a lot of poetry that's very, very beautiful, and you appreciate it immediately. But to read a lot of the romantic poets, to read, it's an intellectual exercise to appreciate poetry. And you need patience. And I've never been a patient person in my life. I'm always in a hurry. Even now. I'm sure when it's the judgment day, el día del juicio final, I said, come on, empecemos la... el juicio. Let's begin the trial. So I'm tired of waiting and things. I'm sure I will. But I'm not going to finish. It's interesting. I'm not going to finish this paragraph. This paragraph lends itself just to a lot of commentary. The accident. Whoever caused it, whatever. But I have to go. I have to say goodbye for Friday. Have a good weekend and drive carefully.
¿Sabes que ahora también puedes ver Vaughan Radio en directo? Síguenos en twitch.tv/Vaughan Radio.
Sí, dígame.
Ahora tu profesor Vaughan, desde tu casa, la oficina. Tu profesor Vaughan en clases telefónicas. Ahora más fácil y cómodo. Consigue uno de los tres planes de formación en grupovaughan.com/clases telefónicas.
Nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia es la opción perfecta para perfeccionar tu inglés en poco tiempo y sin perder tiempo en incómodos desplazamientos. 100% online, por videoconferencia, desde cualquier lugar. Grupos de 6 personas como máximo. Horario de mañana o tarde. Prueba de nivel gratuita. ¿Qué más quieres?